everybody. Happy Thirsty Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets here live in the FTN Network Studios, aka my basement. Chris Mean here with you. We have a lot to talk about here on the show. I see some people hanging out already, asking some start and sit questions. We're going to get to those questions here in just a few moments. Thursday Night Football Week 5 kicks off tonight. The Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders. We got some picks. We got some props. We'll take a look at the Week 5 slate. We'll have some picks for Week 5, as well as some props on tomorrow's episode, some DFS stuff. We've been doing it every single Friday. Today, we will preview that Thursday Night Football game. We will talk about Justin Fields' best game of his NFL career last week. Is it a sign of things to come, or is that just on the Denver Broncos being absolutely pitiful defensively so far this year? But hey, Fields, career high in terms of completion percentage, up at 80%, over 300 yards passing. I believe that was his first 300-yard passing game. He had not one, not two, not three, but four passing touchdowns, hooking up with his old buddy DJ Moore. Does it all come crashing down tonight? Or, like I said, is this a sign of things to come? We'll dive into that game. I got a few props that I like, some lines I see already moving a little bit with some of these props. We'll dive into it here very, very soon. We have some start and some sits, a few players that I'm really feeling this week, and some players that not so much. Also, going to take a look at a few buy low and sell high candidates. It is tough to trade, but I think this is probably the best time to get it done. We're here into Week 5. We have four teams on bye. We have teams that potentially are 1-3, 0-4 in their fantasy football leagues. This is the time to pick on them. This is it, man. Like, you can't feel, you know, you can't feel guilty about picking on your buddies in your home league at 0-4. I'm taking a look. If I'm lucky enough to be 3-1, 4-0, even 2-2, heck, 1-3, I'm still picking on those teams that are below me. Immediately this morning in one of my home leagues, I took a look at the teams that are in last place, second last place, and there's some teams out there that have some guys on bye, like Amari Cooper coming off a dud game. Watson hasn't looked that great, but this opponent doesn't have anybody great to roll out, like Rashee Rice, the wide receiver too. Like, I like Rashee Rice too, but what are we even doing here? So desperation kicks in for certain squads, and this is where you really need to take advantage. I love trying to acquire players that are on bye, only if you can afford to take on some of that risk. So we'll talk about some of those players in just a little bit. What are we doing with Joe Burrow? Is things going to turn around for Mr. Burrow at all? I'm a little uncertain, and it's all George's fault. I mean, he's sitting there in the background. He's watching. He's got Joe Burrow everywhere. Joe Burrow on every single graphic. Oh, I love the Bengals look. It's so nice to make these Joe Burrow and Bengals graphics. Like, this team may not even make the playoffs. I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl. I thought Burrow and the Bengals would go to the dance this year. And I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. In fact, I wouldn't put my money on them making the playoffs. So sure, they can go on a run. But things do not look good at the moment for Joe Burrow and the Cats. We'll see. Again, we talked earlier in the week about power rankings. I'm really feeling where this Bills squad is at. It's not just because they spanked Miami. I expected them to beat Miami. Losing White cornerback is a big blow. But, man, they are clicking on all cylinders. Josh Allen, can we get actually this? I meant to put this in the tracker. I always get sidetracked with you guys. Josh Allen MVP odds. What's the odds for Josh Allen? Because Tua was favored there for a little bit. Got to figure Josh. I didn't look at them after week four. Got to figure Josh is like favored now after, you know, beating up on board, like +380. We missed out. +380. It was like 7-1, 8-1 before that game at Miami. But he would be my pick right now. Josh Allen would be my pick right now. Completion percentage is through the roof, like 70%. He's playing really good football. We'll get into the rest of the slate in just a little bit. We know that they're in London this week to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who stayed in London an extra week after beating up on the Falcons last week. So, guys, I want to say what up to everybody here hanging out with us. Welcome in. We do appreciate you guys all the time. Rating, reviewing, subscribing, telling friends. Smashing the like button, subscribing to this FTN Network YouTube page, which I know you've all done as well. Mr. Nice Guy off the hop here. Do I start Jahan Dotson tonight or Sky Moore against Minnesota PPR League? Have to start one. I mean, I don't think you can start Sky Moore at this point. I mean, a big zero, right? I'm pretty sure he has two zeros so far of this season. I mean, he's out there, you know, playing more snaps than anybody else, running more routes than basically anybody else. But what's he doing out there? It's like that Beetlejuice. Do we have it? Just hanging around. He's just out there hanging around. He's not doing a bloody thing. Like week one, 0 points. Last week, 1.9 points. He had zero catches. He had 19 rushing yards. He has seven grabs and 112 receiving yards through 4 weeks. I'll admit, that's a loss on my part. It's a big L. I mean, I told you guys to draft him. I drafted him in a bunch of spots. This was the final straw for me. I cut him in a couple spots, you know, for Michael Wilson, where I could pick him up. I really do like the schedule moving forward. Minnesota, Denver, the Chargers, Denver, Miami, the bye, Philly. Like, there, it's some good matchups there, but we're playing this game with Patrick Mahomes and the wide receivers again. It is just him spreading the ball around after Travis Kelce. Pacheco looks real good. That's one we nailed, and I'm you know, it's only 4 weeks into the season, but I feel pretty good about that. Isaiah Pacheco looks like an absolute baller, you know, a high-end RB2 the rest of the way. So, no, I know it hasn't gone good for Jahan Dotson, but a matchup against the Bears, that'll make you lick your chops. It could be a Jahan Dotson night. So I would go with him. He scored a touchdown last week. He's at least getting targets, Mr. Nice Guy. So that's who I would roll with here. Mark Carr in the house. It's been a minute. Welcome in, sir. What's going on? Welcome. Any word on if Kupp could play this week? I think he could play this week. You know, I saw the press conference with Sean McVay yesterday talking about how he was going to be limited. And then he said after that he wasn't going to be limited. And he was just reading off a teleprompter and he felt like Ron Burgundy. I'm Ron Burgundy. Cooper Kupp could be limited this week. I think he could play, but he's not going to be full go. And if you have Cooper Kupp and he is active, you got to play Cooper Kupp, right? I mean, you really do have to play Cooper Kupp. We'll get into some starts in a little bit, but I like Matthew Stafford. You know, he leads the NFL in pass attempts. He's got three 100-yard games already. And they run a lot of bunch concepts. You know, you see three wide receivers on one side of the field in bunches, and they run a lot of motion. And the Eagles are just a bloody mess when it comes to bunch concepts and guys in motion. I mean, it dates all the way back to the Super Bowl. You remember the, and speaking of Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, these guys aren't doing anything this year, but they had to have two unbelievable, I guess they weren't even unbelievable, but they were big game-changing plays where they each scored a touchdown in the second half on the exact same play against the Eagles. And I see Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney doing nothing, and it makes my blood boil. I'm still not over Super Bowl 57. But Cooper Kupp, I mean, you got to play this guy. So even if he's just limited, we saw last week Christian Watson was limited on a pitch count of 40%, still ended up with double-digit fantasy points. The Eagles, again, this dates back to last year. You could see last week watching Philly against Washington in the red zone. They had Curtis Samuel in motion. I mean, easy touchdown for him. Week one against New England, they have ran a lot of bunch wide receiver concepts, and they couldn't stop Mac Jones and company in the second half. Kirk Cousins lit them up in the second half as well, and Washington had a pretty good day. I mean, Sam Howell made some really nice throws, and dudes are wide open in the middle of the field. So I don't know. I'm just speculating. We'll know more tomorrow with the practice reports. Like, Friday's a big day. So we'll see if he is playing. But Mark, if he's suiting up, I mean, you have to be in an 8-team league with like Waddle and Puka Nacua and one of the Philly boys and CeeDee Lamb, maybe. Just you'd have to have like four top 12 wide receivers not to play him. I have him ranked as like a middle to low end wide receiver too in the high teens, and we'll adjust those rankings once we hear news over at ftnfantasy.com. Yes, Hurdy might play beyond a pitch count. I mean, that is pretty much a guarantee. If he plays, I'd be shocked if he played like over 75% of the snaps. It is Cooper Kupp after all. Bear down, prop god in the house. It's the Chicago in me. Oh, Bear Nation, bear down. Dub Bears. I saw this video on TikTok the other day of the Chicago Bears fan just after the loss last week. He was just in tears. He was freaking out. He's sick of Bear Down. He's sick of Dub Bears. He's sick of everything. You know, I don't really blame him, but we'll get into a little bit. Prop God, always a good follow and has some great picks over at ftnbets.com. I'm betting another 300-yard game. Is that for Stafford? Yeah, I would take that as well. Fields? 300-yard game for Fields? I'd be surprised. Sitting in DJ Moore tonight, what could go wrong? Everything. Why were you sitting him? I'm big on DJ Moore. He's got one of the better wide receiver cornerback matchups, and I will get to it in a little bit, Deesh, in just a second. I got some DJ Moore stuff. He's got 200-yard games. he's now the first game is like just getting used to each other, right? The NFL is very, what I've noticed this year compared to years past is the starts are sluggish for a lot of teams, right? You have Olave and you have Swift. You have good options. I'm definitely okay with that. So, I mean, must be nice, Steesh. I'm just kidding with you. But these guys aren't playing in the preseason. Some of these teams aren't playing in the preseason. Like, the teams are, but the players aren't, right? Like, Jalen Hurts did not have one throw. The Eagles wide receivers didn't play. These new players on new teams, like DJ Moore with Fields, these guys really didn't. There was a couple plays we saw from them in the preseason. They were actually really nice plays. One, like a 60-yard touchdown or something like that. But, you know, we're starting to build some chemistry between the two guys. And you've seen it over the past couple of weeks. Week one was their first game together, didn't do a whole lot, but 200-yard games over the last two. And in fact, he has one of the better matchups today. Washington getting burned over the top quite often. So we're going to get into that in just a little bit. More Collins Flowers start two PPR league. Okay. Is this DJ Moore, Nico Collins Flowers start two? Wow. You got some good options there as well. I would say that Flowers would be the one I would sit. Yeah, a matchup against the Steelers. Odell Beckham Jr. returned to practice. Looks like Baltimore is getting a little bit healthier. I think Flowers is the guy that I would sit in this spot. I think there's a touch of a higher ceiling here with DJ Moore, and Nico Collins is, he's one of our guys too. We were a year too late on the breakout. I had a lot of Nico Collins last year. We talked about him as a great target. It did not work out, but this year, is it ever working out? My goodness. And CJ Stroud. Three straight games to 20-plus fantasy points. He's yet to throw an interception, six touchdowns, two in each of his last three games. He looks like an absolute baller. Man, the Texans got a good one. And Carolina, I'm only going to pick on the Panthers. Keep pounding a couple more times. It's way too early to count out Bryce, but I was always Team Stroud here. That's the way I would go. Glad to be here listening live for once in a hot minute. Love your show. I appreciate you, Mark. Love that. Yes, and Olave and Swift for you, Deesh. So I understand that. Prop God in the house, giving some props. Lock it in. Justin Fields over 189.5 passing yards tonight. I can dig that. I can get behind that. I'm a little bit worried about Cole Kmet. It's a tough spot. The Commanders are great against tight ends. I think they've allowed the fewest fantasy points to the tight end position. Tough team to run on. You saw last week the Eagles didn't get a lot of successful runs. Didn't have a lot of successful runs against Washington, but I could see Fields. George is shaking his head, no chance, but Fields hooks up with DJ Moore and, you know, away you go. Adam Weber in the house. Welcome in. Would you rather roster Rashee Rice, Sky Moore, or Rashid Shaheed rest of the season full PPR? Ooh, great question. My goodness, it does pain me to talk bad about Sky Moore, but Rashee Rice is getting targets. Not only is he getting targets, he's getting targets inside the red zone. And Mahomes talked him up, you know, according to reports, you know, he was there, you know, telling Andy Reid and company, want this guy, working out with this guy. I don't believe in MVS. I do not believe in Kadarius Toney. I think I lean Rashee Rice, and I really do like Rashid Shaheed. He's very boom or bust. This is a full point PPR league. I don't think that matters. Any of these guys are really volume machines. They're not going to get a ton of targets. Rashid Shaheed, like, I just look forward. Like, Carr definitely wasn't healthy last week. Tough spot in New England against the Patriots. I don't expect a whole lot, but I'm thinking, like, best case scenario for Rashid Shaheed is, like, number four on the team, right? Olave, Michael Thomas. And Alvin Kamara is not going to get 12 or 13 catches a game, but check down Charlie, Mr. Derek Carr. We saw it with Josh Jacobs over the past couple of years, too. I would lean with Rashee Rice, Adam. I think he's starting to trend up. He's linked to Mahomes. Like their schedule moving forward. That's where I would go. That's where I would go. Good luck. Hopefully I don't steer you in the wrong direction. Kyle Woods, our guy. Full PPR. Have Stevenson, Kyron, Herbert. Thursday Night Football, McLovin, and Warren. Pretty set on Kyron and RS, Ramondre Stevenson. It takes me a minute here. Oh, my goodness. Bats. I swear I'm not on them. But Herbert versus McLovin, give me fits. Obviously, need news on Javonte. Need to pick the three above. Kyron for sure. Just getting so many touches. I think he's got like five or six touchdowns already. Just getting so many touches. I kind of view him as a sell high candidate because I don't know if he can hold up with like 20 plus opportunities week in and week out. But Kyron for sure. Don't love the spot for Ramondre this week, but I would play him over some of the options that you have. And you know what? I think I would go with Herbert. The thing with McLaughlin is, yeah, we just don't know about Javonte. It sounds like Javonte may miss the game. Didn't practice yesterday. Not sure about today. This is a Thursday night football game for you. Herbert is coming off a really good game where he played over 70% of the snaps. He looked good. Again, part of that certainly is on the Broncos. You know, if he didn't play Javonte Williams, it's not a lock that it's all going to be McLaughlin here. Like, it's still going to be some Samaje Perine. It is against the Jets. You know, they have given up some big runs, but it's a really tough defense. It's a low-scoring game, which I don't see a lot of offense. I may just roll out the three backs, Kyle and Stevenson, Kyron and Herbert, for tonight. That's kind of where I'm at. But maybe you'll hear a little bit more news this afternoon about the status of Javonte. If Javonte is out, I mean, it'd be pretty close in the projections for me between McLaughlin, a.k.a. McLovin, we're calling him, and Khalil Herbert. Who are you sitting half PPR? Kyron, you're not sitting Achan. Achan, Achan. I think it's Achan, actually. I'm going to screw that up all the time. I've been saying Achan forever. RB3 on the season. I consider selling high. I was going to put him on the start list. And again, I'm not coming at you here, Nicholas. These are all really good options. You have four running backs that are inside my top 15 rankings. So I totally understand this question. But I think you have to start Devon Achan. What he is doing, what Miami is doing against the New York Giants, who are a mess, absolutely getting in my lineup. And I really like Brian Robinson Jr. as well here in this spot against Chicago. So I don't know if it's just like you're sitting one of these guys, you're sitting two of these guys. I always want to kind of split the ties with our projections here. But for me personally, I believe I would sit Kyron Williams. And I think I'd sit Travis Etienne out of those four guys. Our projections would say Travis Etienne, Brian Robinson, and Achan, and then Kyron Williams. I mean, all four of these guys are top 10 running backs in our projections. You're in a really good spot. I'm super jealous of your spot. So I would, again, Kyron for sure. We'll see what happens. Oh, you're sitting one of those guys. I would sit Kyron against the Eagles. Really strong defense, right? They've allowed the second fewest rushing yards, and they're really stout against the run. So that's where I would go. Oh, no. Frozen. We're back. Yes, you guys are the best. I do want to get to tonight's props, but since people are here asking for some questions, we'll just continue to get after it. New York Jets, Houston, or Indy. Okay, so we got the Jets against the Broncos. We got Houston against the Falcons. We have the Colts against the Titans. I might lean Jets. I mean, Indy's fine. You know, the offensive line in Tennessee is brutal. I know that they want to run the football. I lean Jets. I lean Jets there, but you know, it's pretty tight. Jets are Colts. Pretty tight there between the two. The Jets have a really good defense. I know Russ has been pretty solid, but they turned over Mahomes a couple times, right? And they beat the Bills. You know, I would lean Jets. Okay, Adam, we're good. We're all good. Appreciate you guys. Okay, start three, Amber again. What do we got here? Start three, full PPR, London, Dotson, Ferguson, OBJ, and Rice or Algier. You got to start three here. Ferguson, we'll get to him in a little bit more in just a touch. Man, I really don't want to start Drake London, but at this point, I think I would over Rashee Rice. I'll go London, Dotson, Ferguson. London, Dotson, Ferguson. I don't think you could really start Algier at this moment. You know, the last couple of weeks, the snap counts have been sub 40. It's been 70% for Bijan. So, yeah, I don't know. That's what I thought. Hey, thanks for the insight, man. Subbed. Awesome, Nicholas. Appreciate you, dude. We love it. Let's get after some props here tonight, and let's talk about this game. We'll dive. You guys have any more starter sit questions, you can leave them here in the comment section. You can reach out on the Twitter machine, at Chris Meany. Slide in the DMs. Questions, complaints, concerns, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. We'll always circle back on these videos, too. If you're watching the post or you're listening on iTunes and Spotify and you want to hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page, type in a little something in the comment section. I will find this more so than I'll find tweets. I don't have a lot of followers. but I sometimes just don't see those tweets. And I don't know, I could be shadow banned from the X machine. Like, there's multiple things that I've just never seen. And then someone will like it, and then it pops up in my feed. So I would say the best way would be to leave comments in this comment section on the YouTube page, or just, you know, maybe slide in the DMs at Chris Meany, or old school email, right? meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. So for tonight, we got the Bears and we have the Washington Commanders. The Commanders have played pretty good football this year, right? They certainly played the Eagles tight last week. It's something that they've done over the past few years. I do like their defense. They can get after the quarterback. And Justin Fields, as I mentioned earlier, is coming off the best game of his career. Sure, part of that was the Denver Broncos, but 355 passing yards, the 80% completion rate, the 4 touchdowns, it's all career highs for him. Only one design run last week, which is a little weird, right? I mean, you want to have some more design runs, I think, in his game. He really hasn't ran that much this year. 59 rushing yards in week one was great. Just the 3 in week two, the 1 rushing touchdown, 47 against the Chiefs in week 3, and then 25 last week. But Prop God gave the number earlier. I'm not on this one, but I certainly dig what Prop God is selling all the time. And he has Justin Fields at over 189.5 passing yards. Lock it in. He has surpassed that number in 3 of his 4 starts, and the 1, of course, against the Kansas City Chiefs. You have Washington as 6-point favorites here, minus 265 on the money line, plus 215 for the visiting Chicago Bears, and the total of 44.5. We haven't seen a whole lot of line movement there. I'll be honest, I'm just staying away from this game altogether. In my own pool, I will be picking Washington to cover. I could see something like a 27-20 game, which, you know, would be over that number. Yeah, I don't really have a strong feel. Again, in my own pool, I will be going Washington, but there's certainly some props that I like that I am feeling here. So there's a few, and I'll start with Brian Robinson Jr. And the odds for Brian Robinson Jr. have moved a touch. In fact, the number has moved a touch. If you are subbed with us over at ftnbets.com, you have the package. You get notified right away. Active in the Discord channel. The line hasn't moved that much, where it's now 64.5 at BetMGM. The over is minus 115. We have Brian Robinson Jr. in our projections for 78.7 rushing yards on 18.4 rushing attempts. I also like the over 15.5 rushing attempts, although it's very juiced. 16.5 is plus 102 over at Bet Rivers. Maybe you want to do some sort of same game parlay because they'll correlate. If he gets 15 to 16 carries in this game against the Chicago Bears, he will eclipse the 64.5 rushing yard total. At least I do believe that. It is a much better matchup against the Chicago Bears. They're nearly touchdown favorites here at home. And if they do get up in this game, they will run. The Bears ranked 31st in total DVOA defense, 21st against the run. Robinson only had 45 rushing yards last week, but it came against the Eagles. We talked about them earlier. The second fewest rushing yards allowed and the fifth fewest yards per carry allowed at 3.3. The Commanders back had 70 and 87 rushing yards the previous weeks, one against the Bills, a tough spot. Chicago has allowed 384 rushing yards to running backs. That's the 11th most this season, and they've coughed up the most receiving yards to running backs as well. So maybe a catch or two from Brian Robinson Jr., maybe a catch or two from Antonio Gibson, but teams are running on them a lot more than they're passing on them, and 101 rushing attempts. And I mean passing as targets to running backs, because teams are certainly throwing on them, but 101 rushing attempts against the Chicago Bears this season, that is the 7th most. So we're in on Brian Robinson Jr. That number, again, has moved to 64.5, and we have him for 78 rushing yards on 18.4 attempts. We also have him for 1.3 catches and 11.4 receiving yards. DJ Moore. Actually, we'll stay here with Washington. Terry McLaurin, slow start to the season, but let's not forget that McLaurin was dealing with that toe injury to begin the season. He has 26 targets and 19 grabs in his last 3 games. He's top 4.5 catches in 3 straight. Last week against the Eagles, he saw a lot of Darius Slay, who's one of the top corners in the league, and he came away with 8 catches on 10 targets for 86 yards. He has the best matchup of the 3 Washington wide receivers, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. So I'm in on the 4.5 grabs, and I am in on the 59.5 receiving yards. If it was just one of the two, it would be the receiving yards over the reception prop at over 59.5 receiving yards. And I don't think we've seen really any movement from Terry McLaurin just yet. I see some 59 still out there. Other books have 61.5. The catch prop is a little juice now at minus 130, but that's still not too bad. Over at FanDuel, minus 130. Over at BetMGM, minus 145. We're getting a little bit too juicy there. I don't like to take single props really over minus 140. I'm not a huge fan of that. DJ Moore, let's get over to DJ. Maybe we can convince Deesh. But Deesh, you know, I would roll out Chris Olave. You have Olave versus Deesh. I would roll out Olave in that spot. But I like this 3.5 catch prop. It's a touch juice. It's at Bet365. Again, it is sub minus 140, so minus 135. Wouldn't take it much higher than that. We have Moore for 4.2 catches in our projections. Week one, as I mentioned earlier, awful. Right? First real game together, not getting a lot of reps together in preseason, taking some time, but 22 targets, 17 catches, and 276 yards in his last three games, a plus matchup, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. He's going to see Emmanuel Forbes, who has allowed a league high 2.78 yards per route run this season. That is the most of any cornerback, and the Washington Commanders have given up some big yards through the air and some big touchdowns. We've seen it against the Bills and Gabe Davis. We saw it with AJ Brown last week as well. And even Arizona and Dobbs threw the ball on Washington pretty well in week one. And it correlates. I do believe if DJ Moore gets four catches, he's going to top the 40.8 receiving yards that we have set for him as well. We have him in our projections for 54 receiving yards. Don't quote me on that. I can get the exact number here in just a second. Let's look it up. I do believe it was over that. Ah, it's even higher now. So Ratcliffe has the projections updated. We have DJ Moore for 62.5 receiving yards. That's 10.5 fantasy points in a half point setting, Deesh. And just to compare the two with Chris Olave, we have Chris Olave for 12.2 fantasy points, 5.3 grabs, and 73.4 receiving yards. So a touch of an upgrade there for Mr. Olave. So there we are. Oh, I forgot Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney is the one I actually like the least. I like these in order. Brian Robinson Jr. over the rushing yards, 64.5. Terry McLaurin at over 59.5 receiving yards and over 4.5 catches. DJ Moore at over 48.5 receiving yards and then 3.5 catches. If he catches four passes, I think he's going to be out of that number. He's a very explosive player, right? Usually, he's one of the leaders over the last 4 or 5 years in terms of yards per catch. And he's actually on pace for a career high in terms of receiving yards. And he's had some really monster campaigns over the course of his career. As for Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool, an afterthought. Not sure if he's going to be active this week. He wasn't active last week. He was a healthy scratch. Not saying that Mooney did a whole lot, but he did reel in all four of his targets for 51 receiving yards. We just need three grabs here in this spot. And if Washington does get up in this game, we will see a few more pass attempts as well. And as I mentioned, I'm just kind of fading Cole Kmet because it's Cole Kmet's been great, you know, great last week, but it's a tough spot against the Commanders. It's a really tough spot there. Okay. So we're good. My guy, we got both. Here we go. We both got money. Is it, I don't know if he's hurt enough to be out. He hasn't been practicing all week, but he didn't practice a whole lot last week either. And he was able to play and get a touchdown there for you. So let's get back into, I would roll the Commanders defense tonight. Yeah. Cowboys. I mean, they're number one defense in DVOA, number one against the pass. If I had the Cowboys, I would still play them. But if I had an option, I would roll with the Commanders. I'll roll the Commanders tonight against the Bears. Excuse me. Deesh, we got two wide receiver, one flex, Dotson, Ridley, Watson, Kupp. So if Kupp plays, I mean, I got to play this guy. I would play Ridley, Watson, and Kupp. Those would be my three guys that I would roll with. But of course, you're not going to know. You have to find another option there because Dotson's playing tonight. All right, we got another question here. Amon-Ra and T. Higgins might be out. Only other receiver I have is Dobbs. Do you have any super deep wide receiver waiver wire plays this week? Michael Wilson is a guy that I like. You know, he hauled in all seven of his targets last week. He scored two touchdowns. I think he's caught every pass thrown his way but two. He was part of our, you know, him and Puka Nacua, you know, two things that I think we nailed on this show. We had both of those guys as late round picks, you know, the highest ownership for me over at Underdog Fantasy for Puka. And we did a lot of drafts on the show and we talked about him. But Michael Wilson's another guy that we talked about where I just thought it would maybe take some time for both of these guys and never could have imagined what Puka is doing at this moment. But Michael Wilson is a guy that is trending up. It's not going to be the same sort of production. I wouldn't count on T. Higgins. I don't believe that he's going to play. And even if he is active, I'm not rolling him out. I played this game with T. Higgins before. I'm not doing it. He's going to be on my bench. There was a game last year where he was active and he hardly touched the field. I'm not going there. He has fractured ribs. I would look for another option. Yeah, you trade all your depth away for Saquon Barkley. I mean, it looks like Saquon's going to return this week. I would expect to see Saquon against Miami. He's out there running routes. He looked real good, real good. So we'll wait on Amon-Ra St. Brown. We'll see. We'll see what you guys have. Wilson's gone. Let me know your top waiver wire options. Zay Jones, someone dropped him. That's not bad. I don't know if he's going to suit up this week, but that's not awful. Zay Jones, you know, had a good first week, had a great season last year. I'll be interested to see, you know, when all those guys are healthy, how that's going to go, because it looks like Christian Kirk without Zay Jones plus, and, you know, without, if Zay Jones is back, Kirk may take a bit of a back seat a little bit, but man, he's been really good. And Calvin Ridley leading the league in drops, not helping anybody. I'm not sure what else is out there for waiver wire for your wide receivers. I mean, I can look in terms of ownership right now. Rashee Rice is somebody that I would consider for sure. You know, you could do a little bit of a dart throw on Denzel Mims. I would assume that, or Marvin Mims, excuse me. I would assume that he's probably owned. His ownership was a little higher than I thought. But he's a guy that I think that Sean Payton needs to find a way to get more snaps. I mean, he leads the Broncos in receiving yards, and I mean, he only has like 9 catches. What else is out here? Yeah, so Rashee Rice, 33% ownership. I mean, you could roll the dice with Rashad Bateman. I think Zay Jones is a pretty good one. Just announced, didn't practice again today. Yeah, so tomorrow's the big day for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't think he practiced too much last week either. So tomorrow is a big, big day for him. We'll probably have to find some backup options. I don't know if Josh Reynolds was dropped anywhere. I still view, I'll get into in a second a little bit more, but actually just touch on it now. Why not? Jameson Williams, I'm not really trusting him this week. Here we go. It's all kind of tying in. I think over time, Jameson Williams could be the number three here in Detroit. When I say that, Amon-Ra is the one, and I fully believe that Sam Laporta is the two, and Josh Reynolds is the three for now. I think that Jameson Williams would be very limited. He's got one or two touches in the NFL. He hasn't played a lot of football over the past couple of years. I don't think we'll see a whole lot from him this weekend. He's going to be very boom or bust. He reminds me a lot of DeSean Jackson. You know, we saw last year, you know, the touch that he had was, you know, a 40 plus touchdown. It was something he did all the time in college. I just would be patient with him early on. So Mark Carr is saying he is not digging Higgins, but he would go Higgins, Aguilar, Jameson Williams for that last flex spot. I mean, I probably would roll with Aguilar. You know, it does sound actually, you know, it sounds like OBJ and Bateman would return, you know, in that scenario. I may just roll with Higgins if he is active, but I wouldn't count on it, guys. I actually think that he isn't going to be active. Check in tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do a lot more start and sits. We'll have some practice reports. We'll be able to touch on things a little bit more. Tomorrow's a big, big day. A big, big day. You could get a zero from Higgins. You can get a zero from Jameson Williams. You could maybe get a zero for Aguilar if OBJ and Bateman return to action as well. But at this moment, kind of feeling like Aguilar may be your best spot there. Okay, so here's some options that you have. Thank you for this. Wandell Robinson, Reed, Sky Moore, Woods, Lazard, Westbrook, Akini, Mingo on waiver wire so thin. Oh, Rice is gone. Jaden Reed. I may go Wandell Robinson here. Is it a PPR setting? That would get me a little bit of a boost, full point PPR. I don't feel like the ceiling is too high from Wandell Robinson, but I could see like 5 grabs for 50 yards. Like, that's kind of what he's done, right, over the last couple of weeks since he's returned. I have him in a dynasty league. I've just kind of kept him on my flex roster. He's also questionable, but expected to go. The last couple of weeks have been okay for him, 4 for 21, 5 for 40. That's kind of what you're going to get with him. The ceiling isn't high. The A-dot average depth of target is going to be really, really low for him. Reed, Reed would be number two for me. Lazard, I'm not really buying into last week. And, you know, this is a tough spot. Actually, it's not that tough of a spot. I always think the Broncos defense, like, it was so good last year and it just hasn't been good. I would roll with Wandell. That's kind of where I'm at, Wandell. All right. We got a trade question here. Would you trade away Kyron Williams for Puka? Is that equal value in your opinion? I'm definitely into answering these questions. It's I do need a little bit of context because it certainly depends on your squad. Like one for one, I'm okay with it. I think the value is probably fair. I view Puka, and when I'm looking for it, and Cooper Kupp is on this squad and he's healthy and he's ready to go. He's the wide receiver one and Puka is like a wide receiver two, but Stafford can support both. You know, in the Rams offense, we've seen it before. It wasn't with Stafford, it was with Goff. I mean, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods were both wide receiver ones when Goff was going off and the Rams went to the Super Bowl. Those guys, or maybe they, yeah, the year they went to the Bowl and they lost. That was the year they lost to New England, I believe. But like, I just need some context. Like, so if you're fine at the running back position, then sure, absolutely. If you're super thin, I may even just hold on to Kyron Williams. Like, he hasn't been super efficient. I do have some concerns about if he can hold up over a full year of getting these carries and these attempts and opportunities at 20 plus. But, you know, volume is king in fantasy, and he's getting all of the opportunity. He really is. He's getting a big bulk of it. Last week, he was out for a little bit with an injury, and we saw a little bit of Ronnie, but I still believe that he's a guy that's going to live in the 70% snap range the rest of the way. But it really just depends, Chaka, on the context of your squad. And if you're super thin at the running back position, I would hang on to that. And if you have a couple backs that you like and you just got Kyron off the waiver wire and he's like a flex play for you, then yeah, I would make the move. That's kind of where I would go. Yeah, for you, I would. Yeah, it's a tough call now. So you kind of have to make a decision here. You have to wait to see. If you wait and see, you know, if Almirad doesn't play, you miss out on DJ Moore. I would probably play DJ Moore. And if, you know, if Amon-Ra does play, then you sit Olave. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a gap between DJ and Olave. I really don't. I mean, the Pats are solid defense at home. I think Carr may struggle. Okay, I got some start and sits and some buy lows and some sell highs, and then we'll get out of here, guys. But let's start here with some week five starts, players that I like. Let's start with CJ Stroud. Man, this guy is lighting it up. He looks so good. It's a pass-happy offense in Houston, a good spot on the road in a dome against the Atlanta Falcons, and he is third in passing attempts with 151 pass attempts so far. He's got 20 fantasy points in three straight games. He's got two touchdowns in each one of those games, a rock-solid 62% completion rate, 60 TDs, and zero picks on the season. Start CJ Stroud. You can even really consider him in a single quarterback league where you're only starting one quarterback in 12 teams, but definitely a guy in Superflex that I've been ranking over the past couple of weeks as a top 15, 17 quarterback. Matthew Stafford, 300-yard games already. Puka Nacua is a stud. Tutu Atwell is playing well. It's a good spot for Higbee. Cooper Kupp could return this week. Even if he doesn't, I would roll out Stafford in Superflex leagues. He is second in passing yards. He's first in passing attempts. The Eagles have allowed the sixth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They have struggled against bunch concepts. They've struggled against in motion. And the Rams do both of those things very, very well. I would start Stafford this week. He looks healthy. And this Rams team has been very, very competitive so far this season. Jordan Love against the Las Vegas Raiders. The completion percentage is not great for Jordan Love, but this is a top 10 matchup for a quarterback. And he has at least 19 fantasy points in each one of his starts, 8 touchdowns on the season already. And now he's got Christian Watson there, as you see on this list. I would also start Christian Watson, who was limited last week, only played roughly 40% of the snaps, and he still finished with double-digit fantasy points. He found a way to score a touchdown, and that's really what he's been doing since he's entered the NFL. He's got 8 touchdowns in his last 9 games. And if you were concerned about Aaron Jones, I saw some Aaron Jones questions. Only 6 touches in his return last week. 1.9 fantasy points. Won't cut it, especially after missing week 2 and week 3. He was on a snap count last week. There's no question about it coming back from the injury. You can start him with confidence against a Raiders team that has allowed the 8th most rushing yards to running backs this season and inside the top 10 in receptions to running backs as well. James Conner against the Cincinnati Bengals, a very tough spot last week. He was limited to just 6 fantasy points against the 49ers. We know the Niners are just so good at stopping the run and stopping everybody. Cincinnati's allowed the 6th most rushing yards to running backs. Conner's 62 rushing attempts are tied for the 11th most at the running back position, and he's currently RB14 on the season. You remember when we talked about him as a late round unsexy pick, and everyone was like, nah, I don't want James Conner. I don't blame you. Like, I get it. It probably felt a little weird taking him. But you know what? He's going to finish as an RB2 because he's getting all the opportunity. And Arizona's not as bad as what I thought they were going to be anyways. They may even rack up a couple wins this season. We have to sweat that under 4.5 wins. Breece Hall against the Denver Broncos. The snap count percentage has gone from 20% to 40%. Head coach of the Jets, Robert Saleh, said the training wheels are off. I hope so. It's time to unleash Breece Hall. Let's get him in our lineups and hope for the best. Denver has allowed a league high 613 rushing yards to running backs, 7 rushing touchdowns to RBs, and 164 fantasy points to the running back position. This is the best possible matchup this week for a running back. Concerned about Jalen Waddle? Don't be. He's got the Giants this week. It's really that simple. He's yet to top 10 fantasy points in a game, but the Giants will fix everything. I'm getting a lot of questions on Jalen Waddle. I would buy low, and I would play this guy. Michael Wilson, this is the deep sleeper we talked about earlier in the season. 70% of the snaps last week, caught all 7 of his targets for 76 yards, found the end zone twice. He's caught 14 of the 16 balls thrown his way. He is trending up. There's no question about it. George Pickens against the Baltimore Ravens. I would maybe just wait this one out. It sounds like he's going to play, but we know that Deontay Johnson is not playing. Pat Freiermuth is limited in this game. We're running out of options. Kenny Pickett says he's going to play, but he is running out of options to throw the football to. I would view him as a flex play. I would actually play Michael Wilson ahead of George Pickens if I had the 2 options. Tyler Higbee, Philly has allowed the 2nd most fantasy points to tight ends, 3 touchdowns to the position already. Higbee, 5th at the position in terms of targets, 10 grabs, for over 130 yards over his last 2 games. How about Jake Ferguson? Rank this guy as a top 10 tight end this week. It is a tough spot against the San Francisco 49ers. He's got 25 targets, though, which is the 7th most at the position, 12 grabs over his last 2 games, and over 110 yards. And get this, he leads all tight ends with 11 red zone targets and 6 red zone catches. He is playing the Dalton Schultz role from last year. Ferguson is a guy that I would play over Dallas Goedert this week. He is a guy that would play over Kyle Pitts probably every single week. Kyle Pitts just shouldn't be on your roster. I don't believe that he should be. He certainly shouldn't be in your starting lineup. As we switch over to players to sit, Joe Burrow against Arizona. Look, I want it to be the Joe Burrow game where he breaks out, but I don't think we can play this guy. I have some shares of Joe Burrow. He is not touching my starting lineup. I'm not doing this again with Burrow. He's just not healthy. He ranks 34th in yards per attempt, 3.4 yards per attempt, 34th. That's dead last. 27th in passing yards per game, 182. He's 32nd in completion percentage at 57.6. He has 2 passing touchdowns. I don't expect T. Higgins to play. And you know why I can tell that Joe Burrow isn't right? Because he has 3 rushing yards. He had 257 rushing yards last season. He's not running. He looks like a statue behind the offensive line that cannot protect him. I know it's the Cardinals. Let's wait this one out and see if he can get right. He has the bye week coming up, and that's probably where, after the bye, we'll be comfortable starting him, although there are some tough matchups. Dak Prescott against the 49ers, not doing it. 206 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks in the playoff game against the Niners last year. They also played in the playoffs 2 years ago. He had 1 touchdown, 1 pick, and a 53% completion rate in that game. I don't expect a lot of points here. I'm also sitting Brock Purdy against the Dallas Cowboys. They're number 1 in DVOA defense, and Brock Purdy's been perfect in the regular season. He was perfect, 6-0, 2 passing touchdowns in every one of those games, 4-0 this season. Kyle Shanahan's a great play caller, but there were only 32 points combined in that playoff game last year. I feel like it's going to be a very, very similar game. There are better options this week than Brock Purdy, and you guys know I am team Brock Purdy. He's a borderline top 12 quarterback at the moment. I think he's a good option moving forward, but find somebody else to start this week, whether it's CJ Stroud or Matthew Stafford. Ramondre Stevenson, the Pats can't move the ball. Zeke is getting in the way here and there. The Saints have allowed the eighth fewest fantasy points to running backs and the eighth fewest rushing yards to running backs as well. Ramondre Stevenson really only doing his work through the air. That's nice. In a PPR league, I would consider him as a flex, but there are certainly better options this week. Miles Sanders against Detroit. Miles was limited last week. I certainly like the usage he's had through the air. He's going to top the targets and the catches that he had last season with the Philadelphia Eagles, but just 19 yards on 13 carries last week. Didn't look healthy. Saw a lot of Chuba Hubbard in the second half of the game. Now he's got a matchup against the Lions, who have allowed 3.0 yards per carry. That is the best mark in the league and the fewest rushing yards through 4 weeks, only 242 rushing yards. Jahmyr Gibbs against Carolina. Hate to say I told you so, but kind of told you so. Dave Montgomery is the lead. He's dominated goal line touches. He is playing Jamal Williams' role last year, a guy who led the NFL in red zone rushing attempts and rushing touchdowns. Dave Montgomery is a top 10 running back. He is, in terms of opportunities, red zone rushing attempts. He's got 5 touchdowns already. He's only played 3 games. Gibbs looks better. He looks like the more explosive running back, but he's never had more than 8 carries in the 3 games that Montgomery has played. Gibbs is playing the DeAndre Swift role from last year. He's a flex play in a PPR setting at best, single digit fantasy points in all 4 of his matchups. I get it, guys. You know, you drafted him early, RB12, RB13. You know, it's just, they kind of have to bite that bullet at the moment. Montgomery's not going anywhere. I expect the Lions to roll all over the Carolina Panthers this week, and they're 10-point favorites at home. Montgomery's coming off a game where he just had 30-plus opportunities. We're in a game where he was coming off an injury, and they were up a couple scores, and they still gave him the rock to close out that game. I would expect that to happen again this week. Drake London scored his 2nd touchdown of the season last week in London, but who cares? He caught 3 grabs. He had 3 grabs. 28 yards. He only has 5 catches in the last 2 weeks, and he already has a zero fantasy point showing on the season. So he is not getting in my lineups. Brandon Cooks against San Fran. Cooks led the Cowboys in wide receiver snaps last week, but what is he even doing out there? He's just hanging around. 8 catches for 66 yards this season. I don't know if it gets any better against the Niners. And Michael Gallup is trending up. I told Jake that I would not only sit Brandon Cooks, I don't have any shares of him. I would cut my ties. I just don't see the ceiling here. Maybe things get better for this offense. The Cowboys have blown out a bunch of teams thanks to their defense, and they haven't really had to push the pace offensively. I'm sure they will have to this week, but it's a tough spot against the Niners. Grab Michael Gallup where you can. Cortland Sutton against the Jets. Sutton has been awesome this year. 3 scores and 20 grabs in 4 games. He's going to have to deal with a very tough Jets secondary. According to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, you know, he's going to see a lot of Sauce Gardner this week. And even if he doesn't, the secondary has all kinds of players. And that could give Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy fits as well. This is a game that I see very, very low scoring, maybe like 30 points combined. I don't like really anybody in this matchup in terms of wide receivers. And then Jameson Williams here, eligible to return after serving the suspension. As I said earlier, love the player, love the ceiling, but let's be patient. He'll likely be on a snap count. He's hardly touched the field over the course of his short career in the NFL. And he hasn't played a lot of football as of late. And he could be the 4th or 5th option. Even if Amon-Ra St. Brown sits, I would play Josh Reynolds over Jameson Williams. Have him, get ready to play him. Some boomer bust weeks, but this is a week where I just need to kind of see it, and I don't expect him to be full go in his first full game this season. Kyle Pitts, 20 targets, 15 grabs, 179 yards, 25 fantasy points, 10 and 10, tight end 10 on the season. Wait, let's do that again. Kyle Pitts, 20 targets, 15 catches, 179 yards, 25 fantasy points, tight end 10 on the season. Wait a minute. That's not Kyle Pitts. That's Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle Pitts has 1 more target than Jonnu Smith, but he only has 11 grabs and 121 yards, 17 fantasy points, tight end 29 on the season. Jonnu Smith is, I can't believe it, but he is the guy who is getting all of the work at the moment in Atlanta. And that's not even something to be excited about. 25 fantasy points, but it's a lot more than 17. Kyle Pitts against the Texans. I don't care about the matchup. He's a good player. He's just not finding a way in my lineups. And then there's Hunter Henry against the Saints. I don't trust Mac Jones in this offense. The Saints have allowed the fourth fewest points to tight ends. And last season, they allowed the fewest fantasy points to tight ends. They were the only team not to allow 100 points at the tight end position. So there are your start and sits for the week. And we'll give Kyle Pitts one of these bats. Do you trade him? Like, did the Falcons just eat that L and trade him? Because if he was anywhere else, he would be really good. It's just the way that this Falcons offense runs, right? They run, and I don't know. Arthur Smith, I guess, trusts his old buddy Jonnu Smith a little bit more. I think Kyle Pitts is good, right? I watch the film. I watch the tape. I see him open. Desmond Ridder can't make those throws. So it's unfortunate. You know, I would view him as a buy-low candidate in Dynasty. I wouldn't give up a whole lot, and I would imagine he's on a new team in a couple of years. Any questions there? Any more questions before we get going? Breece Hall, Saquon Stevenson. I would go with Saquon and Breece in that situation there. I do believe we'll see Breece Hall return. Henry, Kyron Swift, flex right now. Warren, wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Olave, DJ Moore, Dotson, Palmer, Mims. I think almost got to go DJ Moore. Yeah, I think that's where it would be at as well. And we answered that question for you, Chris. We got Prop God. What are your thoughts on Goddard? Yeah, you know, Goddard should take some heat as well because he's been even worse than Kyle Pitts. You have him in two leagues and he's done nothing. Higbee on the waiver wire in one league. Would you pick up Higbee? I wouldn't drop Goddard for him if that's what you're saying. I would be patient with Dallas Goddard. You know, it could be the whole squeaky wheel thing. We saw AJ Brown come out. Well, he didn't really come out, but he was like kind of flustered on the sidelines and he's had two good games. I wasn't crazy about Goddard because it's a run first offense in Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts really just throws two guys. Like Goddard's certainly the third, but it's AJ and it's Devontae. I'd like Higbee more this week. You know, if it's something that you want to do, I don't really hate it, but I still would like Goddard more the rest of the way. I think when Cooper Kupp comes back, Higbee's that guy that is going to take the back seat thanks to the production that we've seen from Puka Nacua. All right, guys, we have a couple buy lows and some sell highs. I'll flash them here quickly, but I think I'll dive into them a little bit deeper tomorrow. We're going to get out of here. We have a live draft on our FTN Network YouTube page over at Danglebat Selly. We're going to talk a little best ball hockey, and so we have to get going here. But here's a couple players I was considering buying on. Jared Goff in what would be a super flex league for Jared Goff. I'm not really feeling him in a 12-team league, but I really like the matchups. I mean, the home and away splits are for real. Like last season was extremely significant, and he's got some good games in a dome coming up. Like in Tampa and in Baltimore, week 6 and week 7 is tough. So maybe wait till after that if he does struggle on the road in those scenarios. But he's at home week 8 against the Raiders, week 10 in a dome against the Chargers, in a dome week 11 against Chicago, in a dome, week 12 against Green Bay. He travels to the Saints, so that's another dome game. Week 14 will be outside in Chicago, but it is the Bears. And week 15, in a dome, at home against Denver, which is a good matchup. And then week 16 is a good matchup in Minnesota as well in a dome. And if you should get to the finals, you could have another option, but he's also inside a dome there as well. So if you look at Jared Goff's home and away splits, if you just take a look at last season, they were very significant. In 9 home games, he had 23 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He had 7.7 yards per pass attempt, a 65% completion rate, 274 passing yards per game. In 8 road games, he only had 6 passing touchdowns and 4 picks. He threw for 245 yards, 7.3 yards per attempt, and a lower completion percentage as well. Deshaun Watson, I was kind of looking at quarterbacks and I was looking ahead at some of the playoff matchups, and I'll get to a couple guys that have some tougher ones in just a little bit. And I know Watson hasn't been good. He missed last week. He's on a bye this week. He's got San Fran out of the bye, but you know, down the stretch of the season, things open up a little bit more for him. Week 12 against the Broncos, got the Rams week 13, Jacksonville week 14, you know, playoff matchup week 15 against Chicago, week 16 against Houston, in a dome against his former squad there. So, you know, a super flex buy only for him. Austin Eckler, you know, dealing with the injury, an owner could be 0-4, 1-3, maybe panic mode for them. I do expect to see Austin Eckler next week. Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, these are guys that are struggling. I don't believe in A.J. Dillon, but Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, I think, could be had. And I do believe owners are panicking about both of those players. Damian Pierce, I'm not sure if you could buy him, but I wanted to put him on the list anyways, just in case. Damian Pierce is, he's been pretty good, and he's been pretty good in really what's been a depleted offensive line. They're starting to get a little bit healthier back at the moment. Spelt Damian wrong there, but my apologies. For Pierce, though, the opportunities have been there. 24 last week for 81. He's catching passes out of the backfield. He has at least two catches in three of his four games. Pretty impressive stuff there. So, you know, I thought maybe Singletary would be the guy catching balls out of the backfield. And I like some of the matchups as well, you know, moving forward. So Damian Pierce is a guy that I would consider. Breece Hall, you know, maybe tough to get now because, you know, word is out that Robert Saleh is going to unleash him and the training wheels are going to come off and he's got that dream matchup against the Broncos. But, you know, he hasn't done a whole lot. So it's possible that an owner is like, you know what, enough of this. It's Zach Wilson. It's the Jets. It's Breece Hall. He's only getting a handful of carries here and there. I would try to buy him before he blows up. Getting a lot of questions about Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle. I don't think any of these guys, I didn't think that they would be available, but apparently they are. So I would knock in, knock the door, call the owner and say, listen, do you want Ja'Marr Chase? Joe Burrow stinks. And I would just, that would be my starter. And Jaylen Waddle in there as well. I think, you know, it's only a matter of time before he gets going. Dallas Goedert, I do view as a buy low candidate. Maybe in deeper leagues, it's tough to just buy a tight end, but I would trade Higbee for him. I would trade Hunter Henry for him. I would trade Cole Kmet for him. But at the moment, he certainly is struggling. And Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, you know, I'm into, you know, buying Watson again in super flex leagues. Amari Cooper coming off a dud game where there was no Watson. He's on a bye this week. The matchups get pretty good for him out of this Indy, Seattle, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Denver. You know, some good spots for Amari Cooper coming up. And, you know, I am Amari Cooper owner. I have him in a couple spots and I've tried to, you know, just to see if Amari Cooper owners like 0-4 and 1-3, if he could be available. These are some players that I would sell this week. Oh no. Where is it? Where's the sells? We got to get the sells. I don't think we have them. I don't think we have them. Oh, wait, we might. I think what happened when we froze earlier was a StreamYard thing. We lost a bunch of things here. Okay, so I understand it's probably it's like a brutal time to trade Joe Burrow. But I would just see, like, what could you get for Joe Burrow? Could you get Jared Goff? I'd probably do it, right? I would do that, like, something like that. Burrow, certainly struggling. We talked about him and where he ranks, you know, across the board in completion percentage. And, you know, he only has two passing touchdowns. And, you know, yards per attempt is one of the worst marks in the NFL. And what I will say is the reason I'm into selling him and getting whatever I can for him is because he's got a bye week 7. And then after the bye, he has San Fran and Buffalo. I don't like that at all. So if you have Joe Burrow, you're probably already, you know, not doing well to begin with. And then you have to deal with these tough matchups out of the bye. So week 7, he's not even going to be there for you. And then in San Fran week 8 and then home to Buffalo week 9, he's got a matchup in Baltimore week 11. He's got the Steelers at week 12. So I would try to move on from Joe Burrow wherever I could. And as for Trevor Lawrence, you know, his wide receivers are not helping him out at all. You know, they lead the league in drops and Calvin Ridley's dropping everything. But, you know, I don't like these matchups either. You know, he's got Buffalo this week. He'll have the Saints week 7 on the road. He's got the Pittsburgh Steelers week 8 on the road. He's got the bye week 9 out of the bye. He's got San Fran. Really good matchup week 11 against the Titans. That's solid. But week 14, you know, to get to the playoffs, maybe you need him at Cleveland against the Browns. Then week 15 against Baltimore, week 16 on the road against the Bucks. I'm not really digging those matchups. Same thing applies for Joe Mixon with Burrow. Don't like the matchups. He's not efficient. He's getting all the opportunities and all the touches. I get that. He's just not super efficient. This offense isn't rolling. So you could just sell Joe Mixon alone on pure volume base and just say, listen, he's getting all the touches, you know, 90% of the carries. He's getting all the goal line work. He's catching passes out of the backfield. You'll say Burrow will turn it around. The offense will get going, but that would be a lie. Kyren Williams, as I said earlier, I just don't know if he can hold up at the moment. He's a top 10 back. I would just see what I could get for him coming off a game with 25 attempts. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns already as a receiving touchdown. He's getting all of the opportunities. There's some tough spots coming up this week against the Birds, week 8 against Dallas, week 13 Cleveland, week 14 Baltimore, week 15 Washington, week 16 New Orleans. Those are like those aren't plus matchups for a running back. So volume is good. Opportunity is great. He's getting some catches. I'm sure the targets will come down when Cooper Kupp is in the lineup. Just see, make him available and see what you can get. Zach Moss, I don't know, right? Can you get anything for Zach Moss? The time to trade him was a couple weeks ago. I don't know if Jonathan Taylor is going to return or not. I can't really say with confidence. Gus Edwards is getting the carries, but I don't believe in this backfield. I really don't believe in it one bit. We could see Keaton Mitchell come off the IR and get some touches in a little bit. He was activated this week off IR. Don't think he's going to suit up. We could see Justice Hill get a little bit more of a role. I mean, Melvin Gordon, it's just a trap of a backfield, and we know that Lamar likes to call his own number. Nico Collins, I would keep. He's our guy, but I just wanted to say, like, make him available, right? I mean, he's a top 10 wide receiver, and I would just try to make him available if possible. Deebo Samuel was a bust for us heading into the season. He's had a couple good games. He didn't play really at all last week. He had 3 rushing attempts for 6 yards. He's got Dallas this week. I think he'll be much better. He'll be more active this week, but I'm team Ayuk. Ayuk is the guy, you know, who is the number one wide receiver on this team. And I do believe Deebo, if we look at the last 4 years, there's one year that stands out where he averaged 18 fantasy points per game. The other years he averaged 10. And the one that he averaged 18 was before they got CMC. So CMC is a baller. He looks so damn good, over 100 fantasy points already. Deebo's a big name. I would see what I can get from him. Drake London, I would just sell on the fact that he scored a touchdown last week. Really, honestly, scored a touchdown last week. He's got 2 on the season. He's getting some targets, 8, 6, and 7. Target percentage is good, but they're not really throwing the football. So I just don't want to piece. I don't ever want to start Drake London. I just don't really see where the ceiling is unless this offense changes. Tutu Atwell in there as well. I think that he just takes a step back. I do believe Higbee's the guy that takes the biggest step back when Cooper Kupp returns, but Tutu Atwell, I would see what I could get for him. And then Hunter Henry as well. I mean, if you just look overall at the tight end rankings and fantasy points, you'll see, oh, you know, he's pretty good. 14 points week 1, 14 points week 2, but 2 and 7 the last couple of weeks, some tough matchups ahead, and I'm just not buying what this offense is selling. So there's a few buy lows and a few sell highs, and we will get out of here with this because George just made this and chucked it in for me. 265 units won in the NHL since we launched at FTN in 2020. I don't know if we're going to have a 100-unit season. I wouldn't count on that, but we're going to have a free NHL betting guide at ftmbets.com live tomorrow. And all my picks, all my bets, all my stuff will be on this show. We did a fantasy hockey preview on Dangle Betselli this week if you want to take a look at that. The draft guide is free. I'll put a link inside the description of this video. Ranking sleepers, busts, breakouts, high stakes, best ball strategy. It's all there for you over at ftnfantasy.com. But if you do have the betting package, you'll get all picks from everybody across all sports, projections, tools, Discord channel. And October is the best month to be a sports fan. We got baseball in full swing. By the way, we did nail all 4 of those series. We did have Texas, Arizona, Philly, and the Minnesota Twins. We'll preview the ALDS and the NLDS on tomorrow's show, but all picks from everybody across all sports, college basketball very soon, Randall's the GOAT. We got Marshall for basketball. We got Gross who kills everything. Dream will be given MLB picks in the playoffs. We'll have NHL stuff here as well. And of course, we will try to nail some props in the NFL because the prop game has been a little quiet to start. Not so good. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Little recap there, the props. Brian Robinson Jr. over 61.5 rushing yards. Terry McLaurin over 4.5 catches, over 59.5 receiving yards. DJ Moore over 3.5 receptions, over 48.5 receiving yards. Darnell Mooney over 2.5 catches in there as well. Questions on the way out? Questions on the way out? Marcia So. Yeah, we talked. I called you Marcia So, Mark Casey, John, Hammerhead Union, our guy. We talked about Stafford earlier. Kyron, no, sell high. Just make him available. See what he can get. I don't know if he's going to hold up. You know, I have him in a couple spots. I'm just seeing what I could get, make him available, and just to see what would happen there as well. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Hopefully you guys have a really good Thursday. Good luck with the Thursday night football picks, and hit me up if you guys have any questions. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll discuss a whole lot more. We'll have picks against the spread. We'll have money line plays. We'll have props for Sunday. We'll have some DFS stuff as well. And we'll recap tonight's Thursday night football game. We're out of here. Have a good one. Thanks for bearing with me on the technical difficulties. Talk to you soon. Cheers.